Nova Guest List Podcast
with Kieran McGuinness.
The very best in indie, alternative, and homegrown music from the seriously addictive Radio Nova.
Yeah, that was For Those I Love. No Quiet is the song, and that's from the brand new album Carving the Stone, which came out a week or two ago. And I'm just loving the new album. So Dave Balfe is the man behind For Those I Love, and the new album is just, it's kind of atmospheric, it's soulful. It's very personal, it's very political, and it's just a brilliant kind of follow-up to the debut. It's been a couple of years since the debut, but I was actually on the panel of the Choice Music Prize when we chose the first For Those I Love album as the winner. And I suppose there's been a lot of attention and a lot of interest in what the second album would be. And we're delighted to have it now, Carving the Stone, and we're delighted to have Dave Balfe of For Those I Love on the line. How's it going, Dave?
It's going pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure to have you. So the album has been out a kind of a couple of weeks. How has it felt to have it out?
Probably a little bit relieving in one way. You know, you spend such a long period of time quite isolated working on something, and I'm not really one to share things as I go. Like, no, the label didn't hear that, and my friends didn't hear anything, my family didn't hear anything. I keep it very, very tight. So you have that big process of writing, and then you just have to sit in your hands for a couple of months while everything gets packaged up and all the administrative things I've done, and that just built tension for me. So actually being able to get it out and share it with people, and being able to avoid my friends still asking me, well, what's on it? What's it like? Do you have big, huge techno parts? And yeah, being able to avoid all that now and just pass the music on to people feels pretty relieving, I think.
Yeah, yeah, I'm the opposite. I'm three minutes into a song and I'm texting to someone. So I can't imagine what it's like holding that, keeping that, you know, together. Well, the good news is there is techno moments, club kind of moments on the new album, which is great. So, I mean, look, it's been, like, has it been 5 years since between the two albums?
Probably.
It came out first, yeah. What has that 5 years sort of creatively been like for you?
I mean, it's definitely been waves, you know. My interests have spread in different ways, and I've gone through big periods of not being able to write any melodies, not being able to write any music. I've gone through big periods of not being able to write any lyrics. I've gone through other periods where I'm compulsively writing and filling up my notes app, filling up notepads, scrawling down on everything and anything, and, you know, pulling the car over the side of the road to scrawl things down. And I've gone through other periods of not wanting to even hear music and only wanting to make visual pieces and only wanting to print or to draw or to take photographs. It's been a lot of different things over 5 years.
Yeah, because, well, this is the thing about, you know, your music from my perspective, I suppose. I'd love to know whether or not the concept comes first, or does the feeling come first and then you mold it into a, you know, like, are the songs coming to you, or are you trying to find the songs?
I kind of wonder that myself. I think, you know, there's been a little bit of both there. I certainly find myself chasing the songs sometimes, but I feel like I have a picture in my mind of what that song should be. There's a couple of songs on the record that are stronger examples of that. Maybe a song like No Quiet, for instance. There's probably 15, 20 versions of that. And, you know, the first 13 of them are tragic, awful, awful, terrible writing. And but I knew there was a reason why I wasn't giving up on that track, because there was something that I could visualize at the end. There was something that I was chasing to try and carve out of the concept or out of the feeling. Whereas other tracks, you know, they come in a flash, they come in an hour, and there's no chasing, and it feels like it's something that's finding you, and you're just, you know, this device to try and capture it all. So it's been a real mix of both, but yeah, it hasn't been that luxurious at times. At times it has felt like been chasing the tail of songs around for 2 years at a time, you know.
Yeah, no, sometimes it has to be that way. But I mean, you know, yeah. So the album, it's a great listen. It's really atmospheric. There's, like the first album, there's loads of brilliant samples. There's loads of brilliant kind of sounds in the background, kind of just indicating the way, you know, the mood is and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, one of the things I was thinking, it's so personal, but it's also, you know, society, you're looking at society, it's very observational all the way through, very political, but political with a small p, like, you know, it's political about people's lives. Is the stone, you know, that you're trying to carve, is the stone that you're talking about, is that the thing in our lives that enslave us, like keep us? And then the album is kind of looking at the things that kind of keep us in our positions, keep us in our lives kind of trapped.
I mean, the album itself looks at that pretty head on. At times it's constantly trying to find the nuance in the difficulties of modern day living in Ireland, that dance between the good and the bad and the push and the pull, and really trying to explore that grey area in between. But I don't know if that's what the stone is for me. Maybe the stone is something else, that process of trying to carve the stone, you know, it's reflective of that journey of the past 5 years, maybe not as much creatively as at the forefront, but more in reference to emotional development, I suppose, that constant chipping away at the self to try and expose the new thing, I don't know, the version of yourself that you're trying to work towards. That's maybe a bit more reflective of the stone itself, and not you know, not separated from the process of writing either. That certainly, you know, even the way I was describing writing that record to you, that being a bit of a chase sometimes, and other times it coming towards you, it felt like a monolithic undertaking at times. It felt like I was just constantly chipping away at this one vision I had in my mind of what I wanted this thing to be, and you're leaving those, you know, if you're doing 20 versions of the one song, you're leaving 19 of them on the floor. It's debris, not to be looked at again.
Mm-mm.
Because, you know, you've finally carved out that the one piece of the image that you've been trying to capture as part of that bigger piece. I think the stone for me was reflective of that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You're reading it. The record's absolutely. Yeah, totally spot on.
Yeah, you're like that's the sculpture of the man carving himself, you know, or whatever. Yeah, it'd be great if I knew the name of that, but I don't. But that one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So the 6th of October is the big gig in the Olympia. You know, you're kind of, I'm sure people say this to you, but you're a kind of a uniquely visual artist in that there's a real kind of cohesiveness between the artwork and the videos and the look of everything and the way you describe things. And it's just, there's a lot of visual stuff going on. I'm assuming that that's going to be a huge part of the gig in the Olympia on the 6th.
I mean, to be honest, I'd love if I was the type of artist that wasn't also trying to tell a story visually, trying to express an narrative visually, because I'm constantly burying myself under work, just relentlessly. But yeah, you know, the process of making the album was a very visual thing for me. I make a lot of drawings and diagrams and spreads of imagery when I'm writing, and the process of putting the show together for the Olympia as well is pretty heavily involved on the visual side. I do all of the visual work for the live shows as well, and I'm making the stage build, all the stage props and the live cameras and everything myself this time as well, which has been very super rewarding. You know, like, you make the music or you make a piece of film, for me then it ends up mostly existing digitally. So nice to work on something as part of this project where I have a physical thing at the end that can go on the stage and be part of that narrative, part of the story that I'm trying to tell over the course of an hour and 20 minutes for a live show. intense.
It is, I know what you mean. We did a gig at Christmas and we built all the props for the, you know, it was a theatre show and we built all the props. And I was nearly spent more time going, did you see the, look, there's a big huge thing over, did you see what he did there? you do end up being very proud of that as well. But look at, congratulations on the album, Carving the Stone. It's absolutely fantastic. And coming out of the first album and I suppose the themes of that into this, I think it's just such a fantastic development. So thanks so much for chatting to us today, Dave, and best of luck at the Olympia. It's going to be amazing.
Thank you very much, Ray. I greatly appreciate it. It's very nice to talk. I enjoyed that a lot. A nice cup of tea there with me as well.
Fantastic. Great. That's what you want. Let's play Of the Sorrows for Those I Love from the brand new album. This is Radio Nova.
The Nova Guest List Podcast with Kieran McGuinness. The very best in indie, alternative and homegrown music from the seriously addictive Radio Nova.